Hi, my name is Frances.
I'm Alice.
And welcome to this week's episode of Two Friends in a Pod, a place for friends to catch up on movies, music, TV, and pop culture.
Just an update on scammers.
We love scammers.
It's not a news podcast, as you can tell. Venting Anna. Anna. Venting Anna. Delby. So I think we discussed this before because you started watching it. It's the new Shonda Rhimes Netflix mini series that centers around Anna Delvey, who was a socialite or wannabe socialite in New York. And it's funny because, like, we're getting so many like swindler stories now. They're kind of coming into the atmosphere, mainstream atmosphere. But anyway, I've watched maybe 6 or 7 episodes of it, so I'm almost there. But just to kind of like, what do you call it? I can't speak. Anna Delvey, what did she do, Frances?
Well, she came to New York and she was like, hey, everyone, I'm a really rich girl. Back in Germany, my father has loads of money and it's all in a trust for me. She has a funny accent in the show. So it was all in a trust for her access at 21. But because she was younger, she didn't have access to it, I guess. So she kind of like embedded herself with the New York elite, you know, went to the right parties, made the right connections, and had this big dream to create the Anna Delvey Foundation, which would be like a club, an art club for the elite, like a social club or whatever.
Social club, yeah.
Yeah. So she managed to borrow these huge amounts of money from like banks, like actual banks, like Citibank and like Fortress and all these big loan companies, basically saying, I promise I have a lot of money back in Germany. Like I pinky promise, so lend me the money. And they were like, okay. But
yeah.
Dear listener, she did not have the money.
Spoiler alert, basically, as you would gather. Otherwise, there's no story, right? If she didn't have the money, then it's kind of like, well, she's just another rich girl. I think the wildest part of this is that she convinced many, many people that she did. And I think part of it is that she truly believed that she had the money or she could really manifest this. So I think, you know, we're undoubtedly going to be comparing her to the Tinder swindler. He knew he didn't have the money, actively swindling people. She feels like she had like genuine like intent for things. Mm. Like she actually developed real friendships with people. She also just was manifesting that life that she wanted, which was to be rich, really. And so she lived richly is kind of the best way that I can put it. Like she acted like she was rich, but it wasn't coming from like a, I need to do this to scam money. It was just like, I am rich in the inside.
Mm.
So she's
a life I'm meant to have. Yeah.
She identified as a rich person. Maybe that's the best way to put it.
It's not my fault. I was born poor because I identify as a rich person.
Yes. If only it worked that way. But that's what Anna Delvey did.
Yeah. And I think the difference for her is that she genuinely came up with plans to build a social club, right? Like, yeah. So she wasn't, I mean, we don't know what would have happened if the loan actually came through and all that, if she actually somehow got the money, whether she would have run off with it. But by all accounts, she actually wanted to make this club and she had meetings with investors and architects and artists and chefs and genuinely was interested in creating this club, like making it a real thing and becoming a businesswoman.
Yeah. I think one of her in the show, she has like an initial meeting with one of the senior partners in, I forget the name of the company, but he's like, you need to have all these business plans, you need to have all this like risk assessments, etc. And she was kind of like, she came back and she did it.
Yeah.
She put the work in. She learned all the lingo of the elite rich people, you know, learned the name of artists, designers, things like that. And that's why people believe that she was rich, because she truly like wanted to be. I don't know how to describe it. She wasn't trying like really hard to, oh, she was trying hard. It's kind of, how do I explain this? Like she didn't act like a wannabe. She acted like she was already there.
Mm-mm, like she was born into it. Like this is the only life she's ever known. Yeah. Mm.
And I think her belief, like the fact that she was so believable really helped her in trying to achieve that life. She also came through with the money sometimes, so kind of at the right times as well. And that really helps people to believe a story. Like when they started to doubt her, she'd somehow come up with some money and pay them back or something. And then they'll be like, oh, see, I told you. She was rich all along. Yeah, it's a pretty wild story.
Yeah. So the show, the Shonda Rhimes show, is based on an article written by, I think, a journalist named Jessica. So she's the one who exposed the whole story. And that's when everyone started hearing about it on social media. But like some of the people that she interviewed basically said, like she interviewed really rich people as well, because Anna basically just, apart from a few outliers, scammed fellow rich people who she was hanging out with. So for instance, they'd be going on a holiday and they'd book a really nice hotel and she'd just be like, she'd just get the friend to get the bill basically. And then to that friend, even though it was like a big amount of money because they're so rich, like it's like, whatever, like 5K, 10K, whatever. Maybe she forgot to pay me back. It's no big deal. Like it's those sort of circles that she's running around in. But I think it just got to a point where it became too much and her story started unraveling. But in the beginning, they were just going like, oh, well, she didn't pay me back for a trip, whatever. That's only a few $1,000.
Yeah, that's the thing. She was hanging out with people who were like super rich, not just like, you know, had a little bit extra money in the pocket. Like these people were like the wealthy of New York. So, yeah, and I think that's how she got away with it. She'd be like, oh, like my wire hasn't come through because my money's in an international bank. It's like not, they don't know that I'm traveling. So she had a lot of excuses that were actually kind of believable in a way.
In the beginning?
Yeah. The initial lies. So like if she just met someone or hadn't known them for that long, you could possibly say something like that and they would believe you. And then as you said, like, it's not like the biggest deal. It's only when it started becoming a big deal for people who didn't have that money to spend. And as the lies got bigger, the money got bigger. Yeah, that's probably where her downfall came.
So I think with this show, a lot of the characters feel sorry for Anna Delvey. I wanted to ask you, do you start feeling that sympathy as well as you're watching?
You feel sad for her, I think. Oh, like she downfall is sad because I think she really wants it's kind of weird because you just kind of see like a most pathetic little girl trying so desperately to make it and failing so hard. At the same time, you're like, no, like that's on you, to be honest. You did this to yourself. Like, be real. Like you tried to do it the shortcut way. I think because they really portray her as being so genuinely wanting to do these things. Yeah, I think she seems believable in that way. Like she just feels genuine. She's not a bad person. She just did a bad thing is kind of how they like portray her. But obviously what she's done badly is pretty big. It's big amounts of money. She screwed over a lot of people. What she did wasn't right by any means.
Yeah. I think as the show progresses, you see her eventually get arrested and then there's a court case following that. And I think you slowly just get annoyed with her because she just insists that she didn't do anything wrong, even when all the evidence is like laid out in front of her. So it's kind of like when you're talking to a kid and they did something wrong. They're like, no, I didn't. I swear I didn't do it. Even though like, you know, the chocolate powder is all over their face. And they're like, I didn't eat the chocolate. It's sort of like that situation where you get so frustrated with her because she's just like, I'm a businesswoman. I can't do the accent anymore. And you're just like, no, you don't have the money. Like, stop lying.
You just admit see, it. Like desperation on her face. And I think part of it is just that she's just so far deep into it, into a lie that she believes it herself. And that's why I feel bad for her because I'm like, you can't even see from like, you have like no self-awareness at this point. Like you just feel bad because it's like there's nothing that anyone can help you. Like no friend can help you at this point or like sort of by yourself. Like that's sad for you. But yeah, definitely she did not do a bad thing. I mean, do a good thing, not do a good thing. I think you kind of like her a little bit more by the end, slightly. I think she comes off as very, like, mean in the beginning, and you sort of understand how she got to that point. So there's more sympathy, but again, she's not the most likable person, and she's definitely in too deep.
Yeah, just very delusional.
Mm.
Oh, and I think this show, I mean, this is obviously a fictional retelling, so it's not a documentary, and the show makes it very clear that like this whole story is true except the parts that are made up or whatever. But I think the show tries to like draw these like parallels. So the journalist says, you know, all these Wall Street men ripped off all of America and stole their money and nothing happens to them, but look at Anna, this poor girl, she only stole a couple of $100,000 and you know she gets raked over the coals. So they try to insert that sort of like narrative thread. I don't know if that fully tracks like the way they show it in the way they depict it in the show, because I do think even though people are telling you, oh, poor Anna and feeling sorry for Anna, I think by the end you really just like you've had enough of her. You're just like just go,
just leave, go, just leave, stay.
Yeah,
because that was kind of the story that she was trying to write, right, about how she's been vilified in the media as a female scammer or something like that, whereas, you know, I guess if we were again to make parallel comparisons to the Tinder swindler where he's not in jail. He did something worse because, like, you definitely feel like he did something worse. He's not a likable person, and yet he's still frolicking off with other people's money. Whereas Anna, like, yes, she screwed over some people, and yes, they, like, probably could afford it, but a lot of people also let her go as well. So it's like, is that the same? And she definitely didn't get the same punishment. So she was, like, she ended up in jail, basically, for doing something that we would say from, like, our humane point of view is far worse than what, like, the Tinder swindler did. So I think there's that whole, like, dynamic of, like, oh, how bad is it? And what's, like, the punishment? Obviously, like, it's just according to the law and country and all that sort of stuff, right? I don't know. I don't know enough about law to know, like, you know, like, that she's definitely deserving of something. But it just feels like maybe feels harsher than what it is.
I definitely think it feels harsher in one sense, because basically the story is she waltz into the bank and she said, hey, I have heaps of money in Germany. And they just, like, basically believed her.
Yeah.
And they did very bare minimum checks. They just, like, were like, oh, surely she's an heiress. She's connected with all these other rich people who also say, no, I trust her. You can trust her. And they basically just, like, ticked her and, like, it, okay, you can get a huge loan. And then you kind of think, well, you know, Anna versus, like, big powerful banks, who are the ones with power? Who are the ones with the responsibility? It should really be up to the banks to do proper checks and, like, investigate everything properly. So a young person can't just waltz in and ask for money and they just, like, give it to you, right? Like, it's really the bank stuffed up as well. Like, Anna went in and asked, but it's not really wrong to ask. It's really the bank who should have been like, no, like, show us you have money in Germany and then we'll lend you money.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what the show was kind of trying to depict, that they kind of were like, well, she must be rich because she knows rich people. Yeah, so I think,
sadly, like, that's not how it works.
I mean, I guess in a way, by association, it's not like she knew, like, just celebrities and stuff. She knew, like, actual powerful people in New York.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, like, that association came from. But yes, should they have done their due diligence? Of course, it was a huge sum of money and a prominent building in New York that she wanted to lease. So yes, some of it is on her. And that's, I think, again, why that punishment doesn't feel like just, because she wasn't responsible for everything, right? She didn't steal money. She didn't go in and
they put it to her
in the middle of the night and, like, unpick locks and stuff like that. Like, she didn't do that. She literally asked for it and they gave it to her. So it's like, well,
yeah, you're the idiot.
Yeah, but yeah, like, an interesting story for sure. And it's just, I guess we're just seeing so many, like, scammer stories, like, coming up. And, like, I would say, because of the success of these two, expect more on your Netflix homepage.
100%.
Yeah, and I think the other part of it that's coming out of it is that people are starting to glamorize scammers. I'm like, I'm not sure if that's what we should be doing. Like, for sure, there's a difference between glamorizing and also just kind of being interested. We'll see.
We should all aspire to be scammers. That's the lesson. Actually, Netflix has a new documentary coming out March 16, which is called The Bad Vegan, and it's about...
Really?
No, I literally say I would love a documentary about her.
Really, the banana girl?
Really, the banana girl. Like, every time I see her face, I don't condone violence, but you know, there's just some people that you would want to punch.
Yeah.
It's like, she's definitely on my list.
I haven't seen her in a long time. I don't really care to know how she's doing, to be honest, because I'm with you. Like, I really disliked her, and it's not because she only ate bananas. She was just a terrible person. I don't care what she ate, but it's just the way that she affected other people and had such negative energy. I'm like, I'm not for this. I'm like, get her out of my life. Yeah.
And
she was so big on YouTube at a point where YouTube was really big. So that made me annoyed even more that people were giving her views for, like, something that's negative. I'm not here for it anyway. Enough of a freely. What's the bad vegan?
So it's about... Someone marries a mysterious man who claims he could make her dog immortal. A celebrated vegan restaurateur finds her life veering off the rails. So I don't know if this is based on, like, a real person or if it's just, like, a fictionalized retelling of a similar case, but it looks like a vegan scammer. Oh, it's a new true crime series.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and so it starts.
The scammers are everywhere.
Yeah.
I will be watching it, though.
Okay, you tell me if it's worth
I'll
watching.
I'll tell you. Yes. Freely's big on TikTok, so that's where she's finding new targets.
I'm out. I refuse to give that girl any of my time. Like, seriously. Anyway. What else have you been watching?
Well, I've been watching Pam and Tommy with an asterisk with I'm not sure if I'll continue watching.
Ooh, why?
So basically, yeah, I mean, this might be familiar to a lot of people, but it's about Pamela Anderson. You might have heard of her and her marriage to Tommy Lee Jones of the Motley Crue. And basically, they're famous beyond what we already know about them, but for having the first celebrity sex tape. So back ages ago in the, I don't know, 90s, so long ago.
Wasn't it Baywatch?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Who even knows what life was like at that time? A sex tape of theirs was stolen and then distributed online. It was like the first example of like people harnessing the power of the web and like, you know, things going out of control and the way the media responded to it and the fact that Pamela was treated differently compared to like how people treated Tommy Lee Jones. For him, it was like a celebration, like, yeah, you know, yeah, the boys.
Yeah, yeah, you did Pamela Anderson.
Whereas like Pamela's such a slut, you know, that sort of stuff. Very classic. I would say the good part is the makeup. Mm. Lily James looks spot on as Pamela. Like,
she's pretty unrecognizable.
Incredible. Yeah. It's crazy.
Aesthetics.
Power of makeup. But I guess for me, it's like an interesting retelling because I'm not too familiar with the story, particularly like that whole saga. I guess it happened too early in our lives for us to like really recognize it and be aware of it. And like, you know, Jay Leno talking about it on talk shows and all that. So we weren't really across that. But I think for me, it's the fact that Pamela Anderson doesn't want this show to be made. Mm-hmm. And she's spoken out and said, like, I don't like this. And then I think up to episode 4, you get a clear sense of what direction the show is trying to take. So the directors and everyone involved with it have said pretty clearly, like, oh, this is like to give Pamela a voice and to like expose the unjust way people treated her. So there's a conversation between her and Tommy where he's just like, chill out, like, what's the big deal? We'll just find the tape and we'll get it, you know, off the person's hands and that'll end it. And she's freaking out. She's like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is essentially like the 90s form of going viral. Like, it's spreading. Like, I need this to stop. Like, I can't have this spreading around. And he's just like, what's the big deal? Like, it's not like it's anything people haven't seen before. And then she says stuff like, well, Tommy, it's like different for me. I'm a woman. Like, I'm a girl. This will affect me differently. So there's clearly like an ideology they're going for and they're pointing out the different ways people treat a sex tape depending on whether a guy is featured in it or a girl is featured in it and the way women are like propped up in the media as like sexual objects. But then when they're like too sexy, like we punch them down. So they're doing all that. They're trying to make a whole point out of it. But then at the same time, Pamela has said, I don't like you depicting this again. I don't like this being in the media again. So I feel like at a certain level, you're just exploiting her story again when she hasn't given permission.
Yeah.
And not to say you have to get permission to tell someone's story. I don't think it's that. I think it's more just like, they can do this, but is it morally or like ethically the right thing to do? I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I think from what I know, it was a pretty traumatic experience for her. Like this thing that was basically stolen from, apparently it was an electrician, like stole it from their home or something. And distributed it without their consent. And you're right, the way that they treated the media, like think this is pre like Britney, like think how horrible the media would have been back even before then. And they were already pretty bad, right? And then having her having to like revisit that whole incident, like she doesn't want to talk about it, like leave it
alone.
Yeah, right, because she's at the point where everyone's kind of moved past it. I mean, to be honest, I hadn't really heard much about this until the show, basically. Right, I could have lived without knowing this whole story. And like, yes, it's important, not like we shouldn't know about things like this and how horrible she was treated, but maybe not having to reenact every single scene of it is kind of it's a funny way of doing it. And I mean, of course, they're trying to give her a quote unquote like voice. They couldn't do it in the way that it was actually portrayed in the media.
Well, I think if to really give her a voice and if she wanted to, it'd be like a documentary, right, where she speaks out against it or explains her side and how she felt during this whole saga. But for one, it's not that. And yeah, I think, I mean, in the show, they're literally recreating bits of the tape. Like, you know, putting Lily James in makeup that is incredible and, like, looks just like Pamela, but then her visual image and her body is reenacting bits of the tape. Mm-hmm. The scenes of her and Tommy Lee like having sex, like episode two is just like them having sex. Mm. But then again, it's like this intimate moment, one that was like stolen from her essentially and like, you know, blasted over the internet, that is like now recreated again for the sake of giving her a voice, which she didn't want. It's like,
you're not giving her a voice, you're taking it away again.
Yeah, you're not. Exploiting her. Yeah, you're exploiting a story. And I think, I feel like it would have been fine to do a similar story like this, but not use Pamela's real name or anything. Like you could just do a fictionalized retelling or a similar narrative using made up people. If you really wanted to do a story about how awful it was to be like a female celebrity in the 90s and the way that we've sort of, or like the way they were mistreated by like comedians and late night talk show hosts and all that. Because I guess that topic has come out, especially with like Britney and even like Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, all those people. So I think it's possible. So I don't know why they had to, they like insisted on it being like actual Pamela Anderson.
Just in bad taste, probably. Again, like just using her name for advertising, basically trying to get that show out and their platform seen, which is sad, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's freaking on Disney, like. They don't need like name to be more out there. It's already out there. This isn't some independent company. Yeah, no, strange one. I haven't actually seen any of them. I was sort of like waiting on it, I think. But I feel a little bit disappointed that's happened. Especially knowing the context of like Pamela like not consenting to it in the first place. Both the tape and also this show as well. But yeah, just let her live. I think at this point, she sort of like reclaimed her image, like, and also just moved on, like far from this. So why are we revisiting something that doesn't need to be said? Because I think we're all kind of aware what would happen in the past was pretty shitty. We're learning that slowly, but through other ways. Speaking of, I guess, Britney's getting her book deal. So like something like that.
$15 million. Yeah. If Pamela wanted to write a book.
Yeah, totally. So.
Yeah.
Our ways.
And to be fair, Tommy Lee Jones has said, oh, I love this show. Like, it's really great. But
of course
I don't think
it.
He was a victim of this. Like, he was a victim of the sex tape, but the media treated him very differently.
Exactly. So I don't think it's like, not to give him or put him down or anything, but like, it's not as important what he thinks, to be honest, because he's not the one who suffered because of it. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. He just got high fives in the street and like, oh, yeah, you banged Pamela Anderson. Like, that was the extent of him suffering from it. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yes. It's actually by the person who did I, Tonya, and he also did Cruella. So he has, like, this track record of doing, like, I don't know, like, misunderstood female characters, like, which is fine, but I don't think he had to go down this road for Pamela Anderson.
Yeah. Or did you have to, did he have to do it in so much like intimate detail as you described?
Yeah.
Like, did it have to go into that? If you insisted on telling that story, maybe that's just like ill-advised. And we've already discussed Cruella before, whether that needed to be a misunderstood female. I'm not really sure. I, Tonya was something different, but I'm glad he's found his niche.
Yes. Maybe he can do it a bit better. Yeah. So it's sort of like, it, I think for Pam and Tommy, it like wants to have its cake and eat it too. Like it wants to expose the injustices and how like female actresses and celebrities were exploited, over-sexualized. But then it wants to do that in its show as well. So I don't know if it kind of like loses its message and its, I guess, integrity by doing that.
Eventually. Yeah.
But that's my thoughts on Pam and Tommy.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess I won't be watching it.
I think it's more just, is this the right thing to do? Craig made it. But on to nicer things.
Yes, on to something that we love, on the other hand.
We've
been talking about like some really bad things so far. Like, scamming.
Exploitation.
Over-sexualization.
Yeah.
And in the media. On the other hand, we've been watching a Korean drama that's airing on Netflix at the moment called 2521, starring our dear Nam Joo-hyuk. So we were immediately drawn to this drama because of Nam Joo-hyuk. Nothing else. Say no more.
Those three syllables and I'm in.
We saw the name and we're like, we're in. So we've been fans. Yeah, we've been fans of this particular actor ever since we saw Weightlifting Fairy. Actually, it was 2 years ago. We watched it in Korea, actually. We kind of caught it on TV. Do you remember this moment where we're just like,
yeah, yes, I do.
Why have we not stopped watching?
We're like, why is this good?
We're literally on holiday, just like having the TV on in the background, as we would in like real life, or just like getting ready and stuff for the day. Had the TV on the background for some background noise, and like, this drama was on, and we were just like, why are we just sitting here watching this now?
But my question to you is, there were no subtitles. So what were you doing?
That was the other aspect of it. So like, I don't understand Korean. Well, let's just say I don't understand Korean. There are a few words I understand. But I don't speak
or far.
My favorite phrases. But yeah, I don't speak or read Korean. So I was totally watching this blind. I was purely reading body language and context. I love context.
You love context.
But I read context very, very well. I would say that if that's a thing that I have, or, you know, a strength that I have, is definitely reading context. And so from that, I really gathered what was happening in the drama. And you know what? I totally was in love with it. And then you kind of, because you can understand Korean, so you kind of knew what was happening. And so we both like loved it. It was a drama that needed no, what do you call it? It didn't need
no words, just vibes.
It didn't need specifics because you could tell very much what it was about. And part of that was because it was very much like a comedy romance. So a lot of like physical interaction was required. So in that respect, it was kind of easy to follow along with the drama or anything. And then, so when we came back to Australia, we both instantly like binged that whole drama.
We also had 2 weeks of quarantine, so we had a good excuse.
Even without quarantine, you best believe we would have been binging it. So we've been fans ever since then, ever since he was the swimmer in The Pink Fairy. And he's back as another high schooler, weirdly enough. Oh, no, he's in high school. He's in
a college. Yeah.
College boy. And I don't even know what the story of this is at the moment. It's just kind of like, like this girl, it's like a flashback into her mum's life, and her mum was a former fencer. And we're just getting like hints of the modern life, so you know what she's like now. And her daughter is very much like reflecting on her journey as well as a ballet dancer. Then Nam Joo Hyuk is a college boy, ex-rich boy, very good-hearted, very good boy.
I think it's sort of like also set in the whole IMF crisis of Korea, where there was like the big financial crash and like everyone struggled a lot with the new measures on trying to recover Korea's economy. But yeah, Nam Joo Hyuk used to be a rich boy. He's a poor boy now. And he's moved to a neighborhood where there is a girl who aspires to be the best fencer Korea has ever seen. And so far, they're just like reacting to each other and meeting each other and talking to each other. But let me tell you, I love every single moment.
It's actually really sweet at the moment. So we're getting like genuine like friendship moments where they're like laughing in a situation and in the context of something that's really sad that's happening, which is that IMF. It's making everything harder than it typically is because everyone's like strapped on cash. Everyone's stressed because they have no cash. So having like those little moments of adolescence and friendship, and even the small things where she would like run to get the latest like manhwa, like the Full House comic book.
Yeah,
like little moments of that we're like, oh, that's so cute, and that's kind of what we wanted, like in a situation where you have like no hope, everything's really sad, just how like grabbing onto those little like life moments where you're just like genuinely happy and over the moon and trying your hardest to do what you love, which is for her is that fencing. So like anything, to do anything, she would do, like, go far, she would try her hardest, she would work really hard to do something that she loves. So it's kind of like those kind of things coming out at the moment. I think that it makes for a very like feel good drama. So we're mopping it up.
Oh, every interaction is so cute. You believe we're squealing, we're laughing, we're giggly, we're rolling around on the couch just like, oh my God, he looks so cute.
Exactly a good rin. That's a very good reenactment of what we sound like when we, I think the very first episode we watched, because it was just one out at that time, we were both like, is this a good drama or do we just like the actor? It was like very unclear because I'm like, I have no idea what's happening, but I'm like, but I know that I liked him.
I think we like him. I think it's like 90% we like him. 10%, like, it's actually like so far a pretty good story.
Pretty
the interactions are cute and the characters are like engaging. So, you know, we're along for the ride. but definitely big, big majority. We got to congratulate Mr. Nam Joo-hyuk for his excellent performance, his excellent visuals, just bringing it.
Dior model background is kind of coming to the forefront here. No Dior to be worn, no. But you can tell that that body has worn Dior before.
Even when he's just wearing a plain white shirt and baggy jeans, he got it.
I know the outfit.
You know it. With a white chain, a white t-shirt underneath. Literally picture it right now.
Sneakers, yes.
Yeah. I would say though, if you want something mindless, if you want something fun and cute, it's worth checking out. But also check out Weightlifting Fairy on Netflix. God.
When will another drama like Weightlifting Fairy come out? I feel like that was such a gem that we found purely by accident, but has like kind of crept up on my list of like favorite Korean dramas. Yeah, it's probably near the top, I would say, just because of the absolute frothiness of it. It's so like, it is just so sweet. Like you just want to like throw up, but at the same time, it's really cute. Like you love it. So sickly sweet, but like in the best way possible. Yeah.
That's exactly how I'd describe it. It's worth watching. It is so low stakes. There's not a moment of stress. It's just super sweet, super cute. Just reminds you of good old times where you're not, before all of life's troubles came your way.
Yeah, when you only had to focus on friendship, love, and also like school.
Yeah.
And I guess these are also like, they center around like athletes as well. So the whole struggle, I guess, is them trying to just like do their best, outdo their personal best, win competitions. There's no like exterior factors, I guess, coming through, like money and blah, you know, that's just so and very sweet friendships as well, which we love to see. Very feel good and very funny.
They're wholesome. Yes.
Yeah. It's two dramas for you to watch. Yeah. Makes me want to rewatch it again.
It is so cute. You know what else is wholesome, Alice?
Tell me, Francis.
This little thing called Marry Me. J-Lo's new romantic comedy.
One with Owen Wilson?
That's exactly the one I'm talking about.
So we finally.
Finally.
Marry Me. I've been harping on about this for so long. I want to know, was it worth the wait?
Alice, it was. Look. When I saw that J-Lo was coming out with a rom-com, I was excited. When I saw the trailer, I was a bit confused, but I was excited. My expectations were still tempered because I feel like a rom-com doesn't have to be amazing for me to enjoy it. Like there's levels to it, you know, like some are like great and I'm super engaged and I love it. I think it's an amazing story. Some are like, this is so silly and stupid, but I'm just having fun watching it. So I tempered my expectations. I didn't know what I was going to get. If this didn't meet my expectations, I think when we were watching, there was this point during around the middle when I was just like, is this a good movie? Like, is this actually like a capital G good movie? Because I think it actually, as much as it's a rom-com, as much as it follows tropes, it's ridiculous, it's predictable, it's a story we're all familiar with, it's archetypes we're all familiar with. It does it so well that I think it's a very enjoyable movie. What about you, Alice?
Is this cinema?
Oh my God, we should have gone to the theater to watch this.
Oh, you're giving away our secrets. Don't tell everyone.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, I'm with you. We saw the trailer. Well, we found out about it and we're like, J-Lo in another romantic comedy? Like, give us. Trailer?
Yes.
Used because Owen Wilson, but also still excited because J-Lo, like, cannot do no wrong. I would say, even though, so you tempered your expectations. I think I did not. I think I was kind of like, I think I set my expectations in a different way. Like, you're like, oh, it's going to be like normal. I'm still going to enjoy it. That's my expectation. I was like, I'm going to really enjoy this because it's a rom-com and I'm already going to be like, it's whatever. It's J-Lo. I'm going to have fun. Like, that was my expectation. And I did have fun. It was, I think, like stuff that you've touched on already, but just the genuine emotional center of it, I think.
100%.
It's got an absolutely ridiculous plot line. We already knew that coming into the movie. I think because we'd been set up with the trailer already, we kind of knew what to expect. We knew exactly what was going to happen in that ceremony and we knew what like that problem, like the complication was going to be. But what I did not expect, and this one caught me off guard, and I don't know why it caught me off guard, but I actually liked Owen Wilson in this.
Oh my God.
I knew I was going to like J-Lo, but I did not think I was going to like Owen Wilson. I think I was going to be like, oh, yeah, like, whatever, he's fine. He's not good enough for J-Lo. But I tell you now, he is good enough.
I think if you listen to our movies we're going to watch episode, there's like a moment where just like, but Owen Wilson? Like, ugh. Like, you were not impressed with the prospect of Owen Wilson and J-Lo coupling up.
Just didn't, like, if you, on paper it doesn't feel right, right? But in that movie, the chemistry that they have together, and then also just
hot.
And actually just acting capabilities. And this is the thing that we're going to harp on again and again about romance and, like, romantic comedies. But can we please have good scripts and good acting? Because they're the two things that will take something that's just, like, meh, normal. This is, we've seen this before, to like something that's actually like enjoyable and good and sells itself as a solid movie. Like, this is how you make good movies. Like, why is this like not happening more? Like, you guys have the money.
I would definitely agree that the acting takes it over the edge, because yeah, J-Lo and Owen Wilson are so believable as their characters. They are really genuine. They are, like, their romance and the way their relationship evolves and develops is just so believable that you get really, really invested in it. And you're like, yes, these two should be together. Like, this is a beautiful relationship that is unfolding in front of our eyes, and I'm along for the ride. Like, I love this. So, yeah, I mean, as much as you know, oh, like, at this stage, something's going to happen. They're going to break up, and something's going to happen to bring them back together. There's going to be a dramatic, like, reunion. You know all that's going to happen. You're not shocked or surprised, but because the chemistry is so strong and, like, you just really want them to be together because you're invested in them, you're like, yes, yes, get back together. Like, hold up that sign and get him, win him back. Like, you're just, like, so engaged with the movie. I was like, why is this so good?
Yeah. I think part of it also is just getting over that. So when she chooses him to marry, and it's just very abrupt, I feel like in that concert, I think that's a part where they're like, you need to get over this. And they do this by having such a believable performance by the two. So because it's so ridiculous, right? Like, he's just like going to get married to this total stranger.
Yeah.
In a concert streamed by 20 billion people or 20 million people or something like that. It totally becomes like, no, she definitely did the right choice. She definitely did the right thing. What do you mean? She's not stealing at all.
Like, who wouldn't?
Like, good job.
Yeah.
And they kind of do address it in the movie. They kind of like, you know, out of everyone you could have picked, you actually pick someone who's actually a decent person. Like, he's a math teacher. Like, he has no criminal record. He's actually a nice guy. So they're kind of like addressing like the plot point and then just being like, you know what, move forward. We're going to go with it. And charge fully towards that relationship. And yeah, like, those little moments that they have together are genuinely really sweet. Even though J-Lo is like meant to be some like mega pop star and stuff, she kind of does put in the effort and time to actually form a relationship with Owen Wilson's character, which is named Charlie. Was it Charlie Gilbert?
Yes, that was the name.
Such a math teacher name. I don't know why.
Mr. Gilbert.
But, like, there's just, like, little interactions between the two. Just, like, absolutely so sweet and totally believable. And he's such a nice guy. And you see as well from, like, J-Lo's perspective, her character, sorry, that she seems genuinely really sweet as well. So you're like, what a match made in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they basically get married at the concert. And afterwards they're like, you know what, we'll just do it more as, like, a publicity thing. Mm-hmm. We'll just say they're trying to work on it. And at the end, the plan is to just, like, get a quotation marks divorce or pay him, like, a settlement and annul the marriage or something. But I think the really sweet thing is how organically the relationship develops, because they're not planning to hang out with each other. They're just doing more publicity stunts or press conferences together, or they have to appear on, like, a show together or do vlogs. And then afterwards he, like, gives her his number just for formality reasons, and then they just, like, kind of start talking, and it just snowballs. Like, they just find that they really vibe together well. Like, she finds him funny, and then, you know, he asks interesting questions, and then they just, like, slowly communicate and get to know each other. So it's sort of like, it's just really cute, because they didn't mean to start talking or develop a romantic relationship. They just kept doing it. And then the way it's portrayed on screen as, like, fun little conversations, or, like, she calls him near the end of the night while he's brushing his teeth. Like, it's so normal and natural, even though she's a mega pop star and he's a math teacher, that you really believe it.
I think also J-Lo has a good way of picking characters. So she's done a few rom-coms by this stage. She's able to pick good female characters, and maybe this is also because she partly produced this movie, so she probably had a say in it. But just like showing just such a nuanced female character where she's not just like, I'm a movie star, whatever. And she's just a genuinely good person who just wants to have like a genuine relationship with someone who believes in love, has hope, and she just goes for it. And you're kind of like, wow, what a gal. She can do it.
If J-Lo can do it, I can do it.
Like, just like the way that she sort of like speaks to Owen Wilson's character, like you can just see it. She acts with a whole face and eyes. Like she's just like having a good time, or she's like having like genuine moments where she's like being vulnerable with him. You can really see that, and like that's part of that as well. Like that connection, you can just see it through their acting. Like it's a good script.
Give this woman her Oscar already.
Yeah, she's a good actor. We already know this, but we always forget, I think, because she's so famous and because she's J-Lo, she's like a pop star. So we forget that actually, well, from my perspective, Maiden in Manhattan was actually really good.
Actually, since you mentioned it, when we were watching, I was like, Alice, I'm going to have a few questions for you. So my question is, this versus Maiden in Manhattan.
Oh, girl.
Which is one of your favorite movies ever.
That's hard.
But or like on the J-Lo scale, which J-Lo rom-com would you prefer between those two?
I feel like now that I've watched this, this feels more modern and relevant. I really like the Maiden Manhattan take, because I think it was just a slight twist on that Cinderella story where she didn't tweak it too much, but she tweaked it enough by adding kind of more character to that Cinderella character and making her like genuinely like a hardworking girl. I think she got the Cinderella part right, which is that she's a good person who works really hard, finds herself in a situation where she's like kind of swept off her feet, like in a dream, kind of like out of luck. And it's almost like she's being rewarded because she's a good person.
Yeah.
Maybe it's this. I wonder if also I'm swayed by the soundtrack.
The music. Yes, I knew it. So part of this is that like J-Lo is a great actress, but also she's basically playing herself, because in the movie she's like Kat Valdez, this like amazing pop star. So the movie is interspersed with like her amazing concert performances, and you know, J-Lo can bring it, she can dance, she can sing. So those sequences are incredible. The costuming, the dancing. There's one song that she sings called Church, where she's like talking about falling in love with someone and equating that to a religious experience. And she has like sexy latex nuns dancing around her, and she's in like a bedazzled bodysuit. It's incredible. So she has all that charisma on stage during those performances, which is great. But then she has those like intimate recording sessions where she's in her like newspaper boy cap and like vibing into the mic and like holding her ear and just like doing all those high notes and singing ballads. And she's also so like soulful there, and the songs are really good. And you're like, this is a good movie.
The songs are such a peak for this movie. They're just genuinely good pop songs. I wanted to ask though, with that Church song, I feel like it doesn't fit.
It's very random.
Yeah. Well, what did you think of that song? Because like, yes, if you take it out of context, so you just saw this one performance where J-Lo is writhing around as a golden cross in a bodysuit with like half naked nuns and doing sexy dance and stuff, like that in itself, it is a good performance and it's very funny, like we all enjoyed it. But in the context of the movie, do you think it worked?
Well, to me, I think it worked on two levels. So one level, it showed the type of pop star she is and maybe the type of music she has. But then later on in the movie, you find out that she says something like, I've never been nominated for a Grammy, like I'm not really recognized. And it's only the song that she does with Maluma's character, where she takes a bit of a different turn, that she's getting recognized for her musical abilities. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that's an example of the type of songs that her, like Kat Valdez, was putting out previously. Mm-hmm. And Marry Me is like that, signaling that shift that she took musically when she started dating Maluma. Bastion is the character's name. Yeah, Bastion.
Because I was wondering this too, because I was thinking that too, that it was showing like the journey of her character's music career. Like, you know, she was doing these songs which were fun, but not taken quote unquote like seriously, because it didn't include like serious topics or serious feelings or something. But I think, wasn't it After Love, that song, where she was like, this is an old song from like a first album. So I kind of wondered.
True.
So I was kind of wondering as well. I'm like, well, she's clearly just always had these in her repertoire. So I kind of like wonder, like, what the purpose of the church song was, basically. Like, is it?
I think it was to have a big musical number.
Yeah, was it
a big dramatic musical number? Yeah,
and also like performance, like to show that she was able to do something like this. Like she didn't.
Yeah, maybe
because a lot of the other songs are ballads.
Mm.
I wonder. Kind of wondering, but yeah, it is a pretty random song, but it's a good. It's a good performance. I'm like, I'm not mad at it at all. I was just sort of like. In hindsight, when I think about it, I was like, oh, we got such like beautiful songs. Like all of them were about like love and like aspiring for it or coming for it or even like loving yourself and stuff. And then we got this song about church and like being baptized.
Yeah. Oh, that baptized line killed me. I just like looked at you.
Yeah. Well, thinking the same baptism line from Book of Mormon, yeah. I think.
I wonder if it's just like if you get J-Lo in a movie, you give her a sexy dance number, like
maybe, like
yeah,
she can make anything sexy though. Like let's be real.
That's true. Any other thoughts?
I mean, what else to say? But we loved it. I also want to say that this movie has 56% on Rotten Tomatoes. Do you 59? Sorry, on the critics side of Rotten Tomatoes. How do you feel about this?
Fuck the critics. I said what I said. They don't know.
The critics,
they don't know quality when they see it.
The critics' consensus is, Marry Me's silly storyline is heavy on the something old and something borrowed, but the movie's well-matched leads make it easy to say I do. Which to me sounds positive.
That sounds good. That sounds like a positive review. And, you know, we're not denying that. It is, like, sappy. It is predictable. But, like, Owen Wilson is bringing it. His character is so sweet as well. It's very much this sort of, like, opposites attract where he is just an old dad. He's a single dad. He uses a flip phone still. Like, he's totally not engaged in social media, whereas Kat Valdez, J-Lo's character, is, like, you know, she's on TikTok. She's filming Instagram stories every day. She's, like, a celebrity. She's, like, public-facing. So it's, like, the way he's confused about social media, like she's confused about what life is like as a teacher, and they're sort of like teaching each other how their lives are and, you know, what's it like on the other side, essentially. But still, their core values are the same. Like, they're really kind and compassionate people. He really cares about his students. He's like that really dweeby teacher that we see in some movies who like genuinely cares about his students. He's the head of the mathletes, basically. And it's really sweet how much he cares about taking care of his kids. And then, like, she joins in in their math class and, like, teaches them techniques to, like, get rid of stage fright. And it's, like, all super sweet. How could you not like this movie? And how could you not give it 100 tomatoes?
100 of them.
100 Italian tomatoes.
It'll be our new rating scale now. How many Italian tomatoes? Does this movie deserve
100?
The question for you is having more Italian tomatoes a good or a bad thing?
It's more likely to seduce the prince. Actually, there was one little red flag though, which like,
oh yeah, I was
like, ooh, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So there's this one moment where they're chilling in an apartment, it's all great, and then J-Lo like takes out an extension or a weave from her hair and like plops it on the ground, and he's like, you know, you don't need this stuff to be beautiful. Like, you're pretty as is. Like, blah, 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 blah. How'd you think about that?
What do you think I thought?
So you're like, well, if she wants to wear those in her hair, then let her. Like, it's not up to you. It's not for you.
You said, right, exactly right. You know how we feel about this. Like, Owen Wilson telling you what to wear. Like, come on. Like, he's a good guy, but like, please. Like, give the authority on hair extensions? I think not. Also, J-Lo, like, what the hell are you to tell her what to wear? Also, it was only one weave. It was one strand, yeah. Like one layer. It's nothing. Like nothing. Also, I bet she had more. There's no way that she had one strand. Like, come on.
I would have looked weird, yes.
I think just like not enough time to do all the little clippy things. Imagine if she just sat there like clipping every single one of them. I think I would have liked that as a scene, to be honest. It would have felt more real. Yeah. I'm not sure why they added that in, to be honest. It's like, I know it's to make Owen Wilson look like a better guy, but I'm like, it doesn't make him look like a better guy, it seems. It makes him, it's his one flaw, I think, which is that, yeah, it's kind of that weird mix where it's definitely meant to look like he likes her without makeup as well. But I'm like, you just say that rather than being like, you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
You look good without makeup as well. Yeah. But I still like you, the like whatever you do. Yeah.
I think, yeah, I feel like red flag whenever it's like, oh, you don't need makeup to look pretty. Like, why do you do all that? Like, you're covering yourself up. It's like, no. You cover that mouth up and you shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Owen say Wilson. Any of those things. Owen Wilson.
Carly Gilbert.
Yes. You stick to your math class and what you know well, but you don't comment on stuff you have no authority to be speaking on.
Absolutely no authority on good hair.
Yes. It's like, I mean, look him up in the movie. He does not have authority on that. I'm sorry. But
yeah, I think that was the only thing that was just like, yeah, he said that. It had good intentions though, so I'm going to give it a pass.
And it's just one thing.
Just the one little flaw, it can be easily fixed because she didn't pay him any mind anyway. So again, I'm not sure why I was kept in the movie. Yeah. Generally, he was a pretty good character. There is good chemistry, as we said, and the songs are excellent. Is it original? No. Is it fun? Yes. So, yeah. Like, it doesn't need to be. I feel like, and this is something that we feel very passionately about, but rom-coms in general just get frowned upon and looked down on every single time. Who cares if it's formulaic? Like, that's literally what genre is.
She said it, girl. Like, she said it. Mic drop. But I mean, that's true. Like, when we think of like a spy movie or like an action movie, in the end the hero saves the day. Like, you know the ending. You don't know exactly how it's going to come about, but you know, generally, based on the genre, that's how it's going to pan out. And it's the same with rom-coms. Like, it's a romance. You know the couple's going to get together at the end. How's it going to happen? Don't know. But, like, yeah, calling it predictable just because it's a rom-com is like, but every other genre does the same thing.
Yeah. Basically, all genres are predictable then. Maybe there's less room to make things their own. Like, they have to, because you know that there's definitely only one outcome, right? They just have to play around with characters and plotline a little bit. So you have to tweak it ever so slightly. I think they did that.
Yeah.
They had well-written characters. Like, we have seen far, far worse. To be real.
Yes.
This is genuinely good. Like, yes. Be quiet.
It was a lot of fun. The songs are good. Every little moment is cute. Like, what more could you ask for?
Yeah. What did you think of Malima's acting?
Look, it was fine. He was barely in it.
Yeah, that's true. I thought he was going to be more in it. There were moments where I was like questioning the manager, aka Sam.
Oh, actually, so I read about this where so it's Sam from Game of Thrones, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the actor did an interview where he was like, I wasn't really getting any roles after Game of Thrones. And apparently J-Lo personally was like, I want him to be my manager because she was a fan of his. So that's how he got the role.
Isn't she like the best woman ever?
A goddess, an angel sent from above.
Actually an angel.
But I did question him, particularly at the beginning where, so in the beginning you find out that Maluma is cheating or has cheated on J-Lo, and that's spreading over social media, and it's like on page 6, and he sees this news and he just sends J-Lo up on stage without warning her, and she only finds out because she forces the phone from him. And I'm like, as her manager, shouldn't you be like, hey, don't get on stage, like let's cut this right now.
Because it's going to look really bad for you. Never mind that you're going to marry someone who everyone now knows that has cheated on you. And also, it wasn't the red carpet. It was like at some event, he's like, oh, by the way, Maluma's here. And it's like, excuse me, you didn't warn her at all? Like, that's literally your job, to keep people away. Like,
organize
her so that she feels comfortable.
It's literally your job to talk to the event organizers and be like, J-Lo is not going to be on the carpet at the same time as Maluma, so you change the schedule. Like, that's your job. That's what you're getting paid to do. He didn't do that.
Yes, I agreed. He could improve in his managing skills. But anyway, other than that, she seems pretty competent herself. Or maybe not. I don't know. Been listening to the soundtrack all day.
Oh, there's a beautiful ballad rendition of Marry Me.
Which one? Okay. What's your favorite song on the soundtrack?
I got to say, it's not Church. I can say definitely for sure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, is that the dud of the movie? That church scene? I wonder.
It's a dud in the sense that when you're listening to the soundtrack, that's the one I skip. Like, I'm like, I don't want to listen to that. I like Marry Me and then, like, the ballad version. I think I like After Love.
I really like
After Love. I like Love of My Love as well. Love of My Life as well. Ooh. But, yeah, I like After Love and Marry Me ballad. Maluma's smooth voice complimenting J-Lo's sultry tones.
Oh my God, you know what? They also had good chemistry. I was like, yeah, they deserve a Grammy because that's a really good duet.
Also at the beginning, like, yeah, the chemistry was good and there was like no red flags that he would cheat on her. Like, you genuinely felt like, oh, they're really sweet. They're really excited about getting married. He's like sending her cute Instagrams. I was like, oh, it's a shame that you had to do that.
Big shame. Yeah, my favorites are After Love, Part 1.
Yeah.
I mean, the ballad version. And On My Way, which is the song that she wrote for Charlie Gilbert. I think, I wonder if that song I just like because I like the scene in which she was, like, very vulnerable. And then she kind of admits, like, yeah, I actually do like Charlie Gilbert.
It's and
it's also
moment.
In the trailer. It's also the song in the trailer.
How did you find the scene where they've spent a night together and then you see J-Lo in an oversized men's collared shirt?
I think that's like everyone's dream right there. As I said, she's an absolute angel.
She's just like casually leaning against the door with an apple in her hand and you can see Owen Wilson's eyes just like popping out like that cartoon.
All of our eyes popped out that moment.
We're like, dang.
Yeah,
she still got it.
Still got it. I mean, this whole movie is just very clear that she's still got it. And in not just like, you know, in her aesthetics, because of course she's still got that, but just performance-wise, singing-wise. Yeah, like she's still at her peak.
Yeah, she's peaking until she dies.
Yeah, and I think she should do more movies. Genuinely 100%. Think that. Because I think she's such a good actor. Like, totally underrated. I think just, again, because she's seen foremost as a singer, we forget that she's actually done some pretty good roles.
I think as well, just overall the movie's done well. Like, the pacing is good. It does a lot to show social media, but it's not cringy. Like, because they have all the people like at the concert sharing their stories and posting about stuff that's happening. And sometimes when that's done poorly, it can really ruin a movie, but it's like fine here. And then they have like a good cast of secondary characters, like the fellow teachers at Charlie Gilbert School, J-Lo's assistant and all that. And they're just like funny and they just add extra bits to the movie. They're not the highlight, but they don't make the movie worse. It's just like overall enjoyable.
A genuinely sweet movie, a little bit frothy, and it's kind of what you like. Like, it sells it well. That's all you need.
You know when they go to the prom and then J-Lo's wearing that dress we don't like? the second half ain't it. But she sees the choir or like the glee club teacher and he's like, as a fellow architect of sound, will you sing with me or something?
She just seems like a genuinely nice person.
Yeah, anyone else could have been like, what the fuck are you on about? But she's like, yeah, okay, like, let's sing together. She's so sweet.
Just a nice person. I think that really comes across. Like, and that's probably, again, the reason why someone normal, quote unquote normal, like Charlie Gilbert, can also like her back as well, because she's not unattainable. She's just a normal gal who just happens to be incredibly talented.
She's just a normal gal who drinks out of bedazzled water bottles, who has a million Coach purses littered all over her apartment. Just a normal, regular gal.
She just has money, okay? It's not her fault.
Did you see that scene where she's like getting a massage and she's in a room with an Hermes blanket, as you would, but like one whole wall is just multiple TVs playing a music video of her and Maluma?
I did not notice the TVs. I only noticed the Hermes blanket, to be honest.
That would be like if you got a massage and you had your two friends in a pod blanket.
Oh God, I would freaking die.
On the TVs, it was just playing our podcast.
I would freaking die. I think the thing to kind of take away from this as well is the product placement, which is very clear. She's a spokeswoman for or ambassador for Coach. And after I saw the Hermes blanket, I'm like, it's not even believable now that she would have just a lot of Coach bags, to be honest. Like, let's be real. Like, I mean, no offense to Coach. She's a very good brand. It's just like, she's getting massaged in a Hermes blanket. Like, I think her status is a little bit higher, is what I'm saying.
Just Coach.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they should have kept that more consistent. Mm. Like, if, like, to be honest, she looked rich even without brand names. If you wanted to have the coach placement, I think that's okay. But keep everything a little bit more neutral so it doesn't seem, like, weird in comparison, because as much as you want, like, Coach and Hermes are just not the same company, you know.
Yeah.
It's fine.
We are not on the same level.
Huge price point. It's fine. Like, this, it's fine to be what you are.
It was funny as well, because the product placement wasn't just to, like, advertise Coach, but it was to do, like, it was, like, to improve the brand reputation of Coach as well, because she explicitly says, like, oh, look at her, all these Coach bags. This is what Coach does with me to, like, donate to women who can't afford to buy purses. Like, wow, Coach is such a good brand. Wow, they're so socially conscious. Like, it's not just, it's, like, beyond just product placement.
Is this because they got into shit quite recently for throwing out their bags?
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
I think so. It's like, damage control.
Don't worry, J-Lo will sell it really well.
And she did. I'm not going to lie, she did.
You feel better about Coach as a brand now after watching the movie? Has your confidence in Coach beans been reinstalled?
Yeah, now I will proudly wear my Coach bag logo out.
Well, job done. You've got one more consumer here.
Yes, that's what we need more of.
Consumers.
Yes. Definitely defied my expectations. I was like, I would watch this again.
Oh my God.
This is really fun.
Literally was going to like say, I want to watch it again, but I realized I couldn't. Like, I want to watch this every week.
Girl, we'll fix that. Don't worry.
Yeah. And like, blend it off my heart and just like go for another ride with J-Lo.
And sing the songs.
Oh my God, the songs. I think the songs are kind of like what's sticking in my head, because you can have a good movie and you're like left with a really good impression, but I think just like the like those constant songs just repeating, like I'm just seeing those melodies over and over again. I think that's what's really stuck with me over the past few days, and it makes me enjoy it even more because I'm like, on my way. I'm not gonna sing. Like, I want a little lyrics out. Like, they're truly just singable songs, I would say.
And now I'm remembering you saying that J-Lo was a producer on this movie.
Yeah. That's correct, yeah.
Because I feel like Kat Valdez is like, there's like specific elements as well that make you so think of J-Lo's real life story, because she says stuff like, oh, I started out growing up poor, like self-made, like single parent family, blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, oh, very Jenny from the Block vibes.
Mm. And I think she also makes comments about like how she's been married multiple times.
Yes. Yes.
So that like single.
But she still believes in love.
Yeah. Which I was like, I respect that. Really do.
Yeah.
Like, you do you. If you want to believe in love, like, well, that's what everyone else is telling you to do. So like, why wouldn't you for it again? Yeah. So I was like, oh, yeah, I do see like those parallels. Also, this was directed by Kat Corrow, who I couldn't see if she'd done like any other notable films, but she directed the pilot episodes of Girls Five Ever, which is that TV show on Stan, and then also Border Girls and She-Hulk.
It makes sense she did Girls Five Ever. I get that.
Get a similar vibe
to me.
Musical vibe.
Well, I hope she makes more movies, more rom-coms.
Rom-coms. I think really the key person in this is J-Lo.
She cannot do wrong.
Like, this has her DNA written all over it. So I think she is kind of the main player in here. What J-Lo says, you do.
I agree. It's also like it's like only 112 minutes. So it's like a short, snappy movie. And it does the job.
It does. It has intent and it sets out to do it and does it well.
So I guess we'll just like wait until J-Lo's next rom-com comes out. The one with, what's his name?
Without Armie Hammer.
Without Armie Hammer. Yeah. And honestly, I'm here for this, like, the renaissance of J-Lo. Like, because she had Hustlers, and that's when a lot of people were like, actually, she's a really good actress. Like, she got taken seriously a bit more, and there was, like, Oscars buzz around her. So I'm here for this.
Yeah.
I hope her and Ben Affleck are happy.
Why didn't they take her seriously? You made in Manhattan. I don't get it. Is it because she played a rom-com?
Yes, because that's not serious cinema.
Just a Cinderella story, isn't it?
It's just silly things girls watch. Silly girls.
She was so good in it. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, we've said it over and over again. I feel like we were repeating ourselves and being like, oh my God, it's so good. And then 5 minutes later being like, that was really good. But it's just genuinely how we feel. I think this is how we were watching it as well. It was just like, wow, this is really good.
Why is it so good?
Just like constantly just being like, wow, this is so good. This is so fun. Good song.
Like, actually enjoying myself. Like, this song is so good. Like, you know, when she's like sad, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sad.
It must be so annoying to watch things with. It's fine. We're having fun.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's fine.
Having fun, and that's all that matters. So, to wrap today's episode up, before we forget to say goodbye, next week, what are we doing?
Yeah, so one thing we could do is do a wrap-up of Euphoria, because by next week, the season two would have finished, so we'll have a sense of where everyone landed. However, what else should we do?
This is my question for you.
I have two ideas.
Okay. Shoot your shot.
So on Amazon Prime, there's two movies out that we potentially could watch. One is a bit more serious. So that's Spencer. You can watch it on Amazon Prime now, which is the Princess Diana movie featuring Bella Swan. Otherwise, we can watch a movie called I Want You Back, which is also on Amazon Prime. And this is a rom-com featuring Money, Please.
Ah.
Yeah. What a name.
What is her name? I think we've also... Seven. Yeah, we talked about this before, haven't we?
Yeah. Jenny Slate.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, we only ever remember her as a character on Parks and Rec and her, for me, her relationship with Chris Evans. But it's a rom-com starring Charlie Day, Jenny Slate, as two recently dumped strangers who team up to sabotage the new relationships of their exes.
Yeah, okay. That's what I Want You Back, because I haven't actually heard about that. And if it's a rom-com. Rom-com? Comedy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let's do that. Jenny Slater and Charlie Day. They're both prominently, like, comedy actors, so I'd be pretty curious to see them in a romantic comedy.
It definitely seems like definitely something that's leaning more into the comedy aspect of it. But yeah, looks good, has gotten good reviews, seems like something fun to watch and lighthearted.
Yes, which is exactly what we need.
Maybe we can do some holiday reflections as well,
because we're going on holiday.
Yay. Aside from that, just give you very last quick update on Genki.
Ooh, I was gonna say, I also have a Genki update for you.
Plum no good, giving me child Panadol cherry flavor Dr. Peppery vibes. I'm not a fan. Calamansi, I love it. It's like got that very strong like mandarin-y flavor, so not just orange, but that like distinct mandarin flavor.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Nice. Yeah.
How about you?
Reflect back on that plum. We recently did something on cherry, and actually cherry as a flavor does very well in like other markets, just not our market, because we're just so readily like associated with Panadol, basically Panadol flavors and stuff. And also the cherry flavor that we're used to, like that's in Cherry Ripe, is not like a true cherry flavor. So I think what we associate things like medicinal and cherry like are different to how other markets perceive it. So it's like very interesting that like we just don't like cherry as a flavor.
Because it's so popular in America, like cherry Coke. Yeah. Like just cherry as a flavor is much bigger over there and liked. Yeah, popular.
Yeah, because I think it's just so ingrained in their market, whereas, things that we have that are cherry flavored here, not what they expect as a cherry flavor. So that's where I think the disjoint of cherry flavors tends to be.
Do you like Dr. Pepper? No. That's weird to me. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't like Dr. Pepper. I mean, I haven't had it in a while. You know, I didn't used to like Coke.
Yes, I don't get it.
I used to not like it, but I felt like I was forced to drink it at Macca's because they only wanted Diet Coke. I just wanted something fizzy. I didn't like Coke, but it was like watery. I think that's what got me started on Coke, to be honest. So I got the strawberry coconut flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. It reminded me a lot of Malibu rum. You know that like fake coconut flavor? At first I was like, I don't think I like this, which is a bit of a shame because I bought a 6-pack. Just purely thinking of the
price. She went all in.
Because it was the only one that I could find in that flavor. So I was like, oh, whatever, I'm just going to buy a 6-pack. It surely can't be that bad. But yeah, at first I was like, oh my God, now I have to drink six of these. That was my initial reaction. But actually with the strawberry, if you have it, if you get that strawberry flavor that come in, so if you just take a little sip, you get very much coconut because coconut's a very like strong flavor. Mm. But if you have like a bigger sip and you have with the strawberry, actually it's okay. It's passable. It's not my favorite though. You probably wouldn't buy any more, but it's not terrible. But if you like coconut flavored things, like Malibu rum, do not like Malibu rum. But if you do like that kind of flavor, it's okay. Yeah.
It really sounds like you're trying to convince yourself that you find it okay.
I think it's drinkable. Those six cans. it's drinkable. I will drink them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I love them because actually the strawberry flavor is really good. I'm kind of like, shame. Oh, yeah. So like, I really like that strawberry, but I wonder if we didn't have the coconut, the strawberry would be good. So I kind of think they kind of need both. Yeah. I mean, like, it's definitely drinkable. Maybe I'll give you an update after I've had a second can.
Yes. Okay.
Actually, I've only had half a can.
Do you have to like down it to get the strawberry flavor?
No, you just have to have like a bigger sip rather than like a tiny sip.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just had to change the way I drink because I'm very slow at drinking.
You are.
I am. That is true. That's why I've only had half a can.
If we get like an ice long black, you've drunk like one quarter by the time I finished.
Exactly. This is why I save my drinks. Like you've seen me. Like I just drink half and I put it in the fridge. And like, yes, it's not as nice the next day, but I just feel bad about like not drinking it. But I'm like, I physically can't drink it. Got the bottles of the plum and I got a bottle of the calamansi and then a bottle of the lychee, I think.
Okay.
I couldn't find the peach.
Mm.
Then I found the strawberry and I was like, oh my God, I'm getting it. And I saw the apple next to the strawberry and I was like, I'm not getting that one.
No, thank you.
And then they had yogurt as well in the bottle, but I didn't get that because I just thought that I wouldn't like it.
Have you tried the lychee yet?
No.
Okay, let me know.
It's been a couple of days since I got it, friends.
Drink faster.
God,
stay hydrated.
That's the problem.
I mean, like, I don't get it, but everyone's different.
Everyone's different.
Everyone's different. Everyone has different capacity to consume volumes of liquid, so it's okay. But I also don't like coconut flavored like cocktails, so I don't think I would like the strawberry coconut.
Okay. Yeah. Like coconut in general?
It's not my favorite. I wouldn't gravitate towards it.
Okay.
It's like okay in desserts, but yeah, no. I don't like Malibu.
No, I would say Malibu's probably the worst example of coconut, but do you like Bounty and stuff?
No, I don't like Bounty.
You don't like
I don't like pina colades. Bounties are the worst. Who eats them?
Oh my God.
They're the ones that's left in the bottom of the like favorites box, aren't they?
Bounties are not Cadbury.
Okay, well, what's the other one?
Streets.
Streets.
Cadbury? I'm pretty sure Cadbury is Mars.
Oh my God, it's like you kind of like work in that area.
Or maybe I'm just familiar with
maybe the just love
Cadbury
chocolate.
Favorites box. Yeah, it's Mars. Yeah, okay. Mars Wrigley. Oh, I know my favorites box. And actually, upon reflection, the Cadbury favorites boxes are not my favorite. Controversial. Because I would say the cons of a Cadbury's favorite box far outweigh the pros.
I'm looking it up to see what's in it.
And specifically, I'm talking about the Moros, which are an inferior Mars bar. You can't tell me otherwise.
I never eat the Moros.
No. I reckon they're disgusting. And then also the Turkish Delight, which I really hate.
I hate the Turkish Delight. No, the Cadbury's favorite, the only good stuff.
Crunchy.
The crunchy and the picnic.
I don't like picnic.
What?
Ooh, you don't like Bounty bars. Like,
I swear if we surveyed everyone, more people like picnics than bounties.
I really don't like the texture of picnic bars.
It's just like nuts and like wafer and caramel and chocolate.
You don't like the nuts.
Do you like Snickers?
I like the flavor. But have you had Snickers creamy?
No.
So it's like instead of the peanut bits, it's like a peanut butter, like a smooth peanut butter. That is way better than the original Snickers, in my opinion.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, Mars has the Creations box, which has the Bounty, which I never touch.
Love Bounty. I think more open to coconut in general.
You know, the best thing in the Celebrations box is the Milky Way.
Milky Ways are good. I think because like a lot of, not a lot, but some of like the like Southeast Asian desserts have like coconut in them, more like open to that flavor, maybe palate.
Maybe, but if I ever get a celebration, I know who's getting all my bounties.
Like, I'll take them. I wouldn't say they're my favorite, but I definitely like will eat them very readily.
Yeah. Give me your picnics then. They'll be even.
Give me my picnics. Give you my Turkish delights. I'll give you my
Morris. I don't want the Turkish delight. No. I don't want the Morris. No. No, well, thank you.
Okay, then no one will eat them.
No, well, yeah. Into the bin. Sorry.
Anyway.
Anyway, I'm glad all of you now know our chocolate preferences.
I haven't even touched the surface of chocolate. Like,
just know.
Podcast on
just know if you put chocolate in the fridge, you are dead to Alice.
Well, they're like, it depends, right? Like, I'm more open to it now because I understand that is sometimes necessary. However, chocolate is optimized for the Australian market at room temperature. In my opinion.
But if you can't help it, like you don't have aircon at home, the chocolate's melting, climate change, it's like 40 degrees, you understand.
Like, and a very specific example is if your chocolate is from Europe and it's melting because it can't handle 40 degrees heat, fair enough, then yeah, like chuck it in the fridge and save your chocolate for sure. But like to eat it cold, I feel like a lot of people like that, but I just don't get it because it doesn't melt in the mouth and you get like, you don't get that full chocolate experience. And maybe that's what you want, but it's just like the way, like eat a different chocolate. Whatever, you do you. You do you. You do what you want.
Get away from the chocolate.
Do what you want.
You don't deserve it.
Just know that I'm not doing it.
Well, there we have it. Got to the bottom of that.
Did we?
Case closed.
What was the conclusion? I have no idea, but you do you.
Conclusion? Yeah, as always, is you do you. It is what it is. Everyone's different. Just absolutely neutral.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. A true Libra is here. No decisions made. No sides taken.
Yeah. Just absolute fence sitting.
That's my true calling.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Did I tell you the ice machine broke?
Yeah. As you know, new one comes.
And then we got a new one just came. We were just like, oh my God, we can drink things. We've just been thirsty for like 3 days.
Dehydrated or wrinkled like a prune.
So I've got my iced water.
Oh, thank God.
Inventing. Oh, no. But we're only like up to episode 7 or something.
Okay. The wire transfer is coming through. The banks have an issue. I don't know what is your problem.
That's really bad. My dad cut me off. You don't understand.
Sometimes my dad gets really angry at me.
My dad doesn't understand me.
I am a businesswoman.
I'm
trying to create the Anna Delphi Foundation.
Going to be iconic.
It's a space for artists to feel safe, the elite of New York City is where I'm meant to be.
You look cheap.
Why do you look fat?
Why are you dressed so poor?
Oh my God. She's so annoying.
Actually the worst.